All right, let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, I'll be reading verses 1 through 13. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law of liberty, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Let's pray. Father, we have your word before us. We ask that you'd use it in our lives and that we might use it appropriately. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I have three main points today. And the first is, don't be a respecter of persons. Don't be a respecter of persons. But before we get to that, let me say that we have a meeting scheduled just after this service. The purpose is to consider a different day for the midweek service. Now, this is not a full-fledged congregational meeting. It's a special meeting for this subject and one other. So, after the service, we're going to dismiss and go into the fellowship hall to have the meeting. Events beyond our control have caused us to vote to move our prayer meeting from Wednesday night to Thursday night. As far as I can tell, there's no Bible doctrine that interferes with that decision. So we have freedom in the matter. According to our bylaws, we must announce such a meeting on two consecutive Sundays before the scheduled meeting. And we've done that. And God willing, we'll settle the matter in the meeting today after this service. Each of you is encouraged to stay for the meeting, though only members here at the church can vote on the decisions that we make. Now, let's get back to James 2. That's where I wanted to be anyway. In any system, industrial, financial, medical, religious, or others, we're not to be people pleasers or hypocrites. In other words, we don't see the rags on someone or the riches on another. We don't see the rags on someone or the riches on another. we're to see the person, who he is and what he is in Christ. James wrote, don't have your Christian faith with respect of persons. How he looks or how he gives money makes no difference. Besides, that one in vile raiment who walks in might be closer to God than the one who wears the goodly apparel. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Hath not God chosen the poor of this world to be heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Perhaps the one in rags loves the Lord more than the one in riches. The one in rags is like Lazarus. I think you probably know about the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Now, whether this is a literal parable, whether this is to be taken literally or spiritually, I don't really know. But I take it lean toward the literal side that it actually happened. But whether it is or not, it teaches the same thing. It teaches hell is a bad place. The one in rags who walks in the door is like Lazarus. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 22. Luke 16, 19 to... There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now, I imagine Lazarus loved the Lord and all the holy angels. He couldn't cross, hardly anyone on earth had given him pity, taken pity on Lazarus at all, but the Almighty God did take pity on Lazarus. The rich man, however, had his good while he was on earth. Later on in torment, the rich man, all he had to look forward to was more torment. He couldn't cross over to Lazarus, and Lazarus couldn't cross over to him, and there was not a drop of water to cool the rich man's tongue. He was in a fix, my mother-in-law would say. He was in a pineapple. I like that. He was in a pineapple. And I don't believe the rich man had much gratitude, especially not when he was on earth. But Lazarus had great gratitude. He was in paradise. Lazarus was comforted. The rich man tormented. Hath not God chosen the rich of this world, the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Relatively speaking, I'm glad to be a poor man. God has chosen me to be rich in faith and to be an heir of the kingdom of heaven. By the way, I think most of you here today would gladly say the same thing. Now, I love verse 16 in Luke. Verse 26 in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, 26. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us who would come from thence. That's Luke 16, 26. I think it is anyway. Now, I don't love the hopelessness of that verse. What I love is the picture in that verse. Between us and you is a great gulf fixed, Lazarus and the rich man. That gulf spans the difference, the distance between heaven and hell, so that no one can cross from one to the other. Likewise, it spans the difference between a man and a woman, so that none can cross from one gender to the other gender. It matters not what chemical is given or what knife is used or what desire the person has. It matters not. That gulf between genders is there because God put it there. There are two genders possible in this world of men and women. All the others come from the dreams of deluded people. Now, if someone like that walks in to this church, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to welcome him or her. That doesn't mean that he or she can become a member. Godlessness caused the problem. Perhaps when he comes in, he'll find God while he's here. And that solves the problem right there. When a rich man or a poor man or a saint or a sinner walks in, welcome him and show him Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't jump down his throat and don't give him a hard time, but comfort him. And without compromising Bible principles, don't compromise Scripture, let him know that he's welcome. My first point is, don't be a respecter of people, of persons. Next is, don't be a lawbreaker. And this point could fit in any sermon. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture. And what is that law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. So, after love for God, you can't do better than to love your neighbor as yourself. So, when a neighbor walks in, show him God's love. That visitor has been in a world with little love. And remember that, I don't know if this is Karen Carpenter or somebody else, remember that what the world needs now is not love, sweet love. True love is almost absent in the world. However, the world has a whole heap of lust-filled love. That's not true love. When you love your neighbor as yourself, what are you doing? You're placing your neighbor's well-being equal to or above your own well-being. I'd rather say above your own well-being. That's love, and that's the love that Christ demonstrated when he was on the cross. And true love is sacrificial love, and it's the royal law according to the Scriptures. And it's incumbent upon us to demonstrate that kind of love. We're hoping and we're praying and we're working to bring people into the church. We're to love those people who come in the best that we can. Let me give you an illustration. I'll probably embarrass him to death, but I'm going to do it anyway. Randy Heller, that guy right there. Demonstrated his love for others when he shoveled snow from the sidewalk last Wednesday. I left the church at about 1:30 or so that day. Randy had been working like a dog, clearing the sidewalks. He even cleared a path for me to walk from the van to the back entrance to the church. That walkway is still there. I used it this morning. But when I left, I saw Randy. He looked like he was beat. I don't think he was sweating. I don't think he knows how to sweat. But he looked like he was sweating up a storm. He didn't look good at all, but he continued till the job was done. I thought he was going to have a heart attack right there in the January snow. I called him later on to make sure he was all right, and he answered the phone. I said, "Oh, my, what did he have?" No, I didn't say that. But I did call him to make sure he was all right. I'm glad he didn't have that heart attack, and I'm glad that he's here today. I thank God for Randy and Miss Dorothy. Do you know something? Jim McLaughlin, one of the reasons he keeps going is that he refuses to sit down. He's got a his body keeps him going because he's always active. And yesterday, he was back here again. Randy, and I called him up and said, we got ice on the river and ice in the pipes. So he came here to thaw the pipes. Couldn't get it done. He called Jim, and Jim came over and went down there, was doing things down there that I don't even know. But they got the pipes, the water flowing through the pipes. And we've got water today in the kitchen and wherever here in this place. And we're going to keep it, God willing. But both of those men showed love for the people here in this congregation. It was a sacrificial thing on their part, and I hope he is embarrassed. No, I don't. I'm glad he's here, and I love him, and I love all of you here today in Christ. And I could name some other names, but I'm not going to do that. Now, what I'm getting at is don't be a lawbreaker. Fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures. Now, what makes that law royal? Well, it's royal because it was given to us by the King, making it royal. And it's the royal law of Scripture. The royal law, according to the Scriptures, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Christ did that. Christ didn't cling to his position in heaven. In other words, Christ didn't love his position so much that he refused to come to earth. Christ didn't love himself so much that he refused to sacrifice himself. But Christ did love you and me so much that he sacrificed himself for us. That was the royal king sacrificing himself for us. And it's recorded in the Scriptures. True love is sacrificial love. It thinks of others before it thinks of self. So, don't be a respecter of persons. Don't be a lawbreaker. And finally, don't fail to show mercy. Look at verse 13, James 2. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Don't fail to show mercy. If I'm to be judged, I'd love to have mercy mixed with that judgment. And that's exactly what you and I have. Each of us was judged at Calvary. And let me tell you something. A boatload of mercy came our way when we were judged there. We didn't deserve mercy, but mercy is what we got when we were judged at Calvary. Now, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where's that? Got it. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then, that's Romans 3:23. Then the Bible tells us about sin in chapter 6, verse 23, where it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, do you know what I am? Do you? I am glad verse 23 didn't stop with that first sentence. For the wages of sin is death. I praise God for the next sentence, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a compound sentence for all you literature scholars, English scholars. We're all sinners. We are. None of us deserves God's gift. None of us deserves His eternal life because none of us deserves Jesus Christ. Me in particular. Nonetheless, God has given us Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. When God gave us His Son as our sacrifice for sin, God showed mercy on us. And I wouldn't trade that mercy for the world. I'm sure you wouldn't either. That's love. That's compassion. That's mercy for the one who is unlovable. All of us were unlovable at one point. Each one of us. Note the word in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Romans 5, 7 through 9. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated, the King James has commended, but God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Do you know what that verse tells me? God loved us when we were unlovable. That's what it says. Now, how did I begin this sermon? Well, look back at the first verse. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus was not a respecter of persons. Do you know what He did? He took each of us out of the ash heap of sin to sit us with His princes. He was not afraid to sacrifice Himself for sinners. And we should not be afraid to sit with that sinner who comes fresh in that door there, that one who is unchurched or who's never been churched. We need to take precautions. Yes, we do. And the first precaution is trusting Jesus. The Lord sent Him to us that we would show God's mercy to Him. We must trust Christ Jesus, for we don't know what's in His heart or that man's heart. All we know is that he's here by God's divine appointment. Understand, please, that he could be a thief, an abuser, a wife beater. He could be all those things. In other words, we can't be blind as we befriend and love Him. This is what we do. After church, we walk up to him, we shake his hand, and talk with him, and pray with him. Every one of us should be doing that to those visitors who come in the door. We need to make them welcome. So, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We come because we have love for you and we would obey you. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst help us during this time. We pray that you would bless this upcoming meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.